Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I read something this last week that just convicted me to my very soul. It was as if the author had been viewing my life and wrote this down for me. They wrote, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry and busyness from your life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry and busyness from your life." Reminds me of what Carl Jung said. He said, "Hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil." See, convicted me because I hurry my children. I hurry my wife. I hurry God. So according to Jung, I let the devil creep in a whole lot. If you talk to anyone here in Concord or who's working or even who's retired, you probably have to hear about how busy they are. In the Bay Area, it's almost become the default response when you ask somebody how they're doing. Oh, busy. So busy. Crazy busy. And the stock response they get is a kind of congratulation. Well, that's a good problem to have. Well, it's better than the latter. But busyness, it serves as a kind of hedge against emptiness. Because obviously, your life can't possibly be silly or trivial or meaningless if you are in demand every hour of every day. But we're busy because of our own ambition, our own drive, our own anxiety. We are addicted to busyness. And we dread what we might face in its absence. Busyness, it leads us to race hurriedly from one activity to another without giving us any kind of pause until we collapse in our beds at night. Busyness, it doesn't allow us to live in the moment because we're always thinking about the next thing that we got to do. We have so much to do that we forget what's important. Checking off our things on our never-ending to-do list, it can make us feel important, but does it really represent what we're striving for as disciples? See, hurriedness, it either leads us to ignore others in need, it leads us to ignore our own needs, or to not even be able to see those needs in the first place. See, the more inwardly focused we are on accomplishing our own plans, the more likely we're missing opportunities to be God's hands and feet in the world. And this outward, lack of outward attentiveness, it stems from an inward disconnection. In the movie Beyond the Clouds, there's a story about an archaeologist who once hired some Inca tribesmen to lead him really deep into the mountains. And after they'd been moving for some time, the tribemen stopped and they insisted that they wouldn't go any further. And this really frustrated the archaeologist. It made him angry. But no matter how much he tried to persuade them or bribe them, the tribemen just wouldn't go any further. And then all of a sudden, They all picked up the stuff and kept walking. And the archaeologist was just flabbergasted by this. And so he was confused, and so he asked the tribesmen why they had stopped and why they'd refused to move so long, and then why they suddenly got up and kept going. And the tribesmen answered, "We have been moving too fast. We had to wait for our souls to catch up with us." When we live nonstop lives of intense activity, we leave our souls behind. In other words, we get disconnected from God and we forget what's really important. We leave behind the source of our patience. We leave behind the source of grace. We leave behind the one who shows us how to love and how to have compassion. When we're constantly engaged in activity, our priorities get out of whack, and we begin to say yes to things that don't matter. And we say no to the important stuff. Sometimes I think, well, I can't say no. I can't say no to others, to the council, to the church. I can't say no to my family. I just don't have any options. Anybody else feel that way? Can't say no to your boss. Can't say no to others. I mean, that could be true. But friends, you can work your life to slowing down. You may not be able to do it right now, this second, but you can lead and grow towards a life of non-busyness. We've become so preoccupied with doing things for others that we have left behind just resting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, in the gospel reading today, Jesus has had a really full day. The last 3-week readings is one 24-hour period. On this Sabbath day, Jesus has preached, exorcised a demon, healed Simon and Andrew's mother, and then he continued a night of meetings with the whole city who were sick of demons and had various diseases. But then Jesus stops. He pushes back against the wave of activity that's sweeping over him. And he retreats to be by himself. And he prays in that time alone with God. Jesus identifies his priorities. And while he's been doing really good and holy actions, they're not the things that he's supposed to be doing in that moment. And so he tells the disciples, "I need to go and preach the kingdom." Jesus says no to those who are seeking out his help in order to say yes to what God wants from him, which is proclaiming the message of the kingdom. Get this, friends. Even Jesus, who is God in human form, pressed the reset button. He realigned his priorities to that of the Father. And ultimately, he teaches us to do the same. So how do we overcome our busyness? How do we stay off this treadmill of constant activity? How do we follow in the footsteps of Jesus? I thought about a parishioner while I was writing this sermon, because this parishioner will not do anything one day of the week. I love that. That's good. That's healthy. In the midst of taking that Sabbath, there are things that we can do as Sabbath to realign just as Jesus did. First, you got to take time to be alone and in silence. We have such a constant barrage of information. But what we really need is wisdom. And wisdom only comes through the Father. I challenge you this week, take 5 minutes to be silent before God. Not reading a book, not on your phone, not in anything. Silence. Now that means you may have to get up before the kids get up. It means you have to turn off the TV at night. Means you have to sit alone in your car for a while. Do whatever it takes. 5 minutes. See, when we practice silence on a regular basis, we find this internal stillness that only comes from God. And that internal stillness we are then able to take into the rest of our day, in the rest of the activities, because I know that I need that stillness to combat the chaos. Second is pray. Ask God to reveal to you those activities that are not life-giving, and then say no to them. And lastly, let God speak to you in Scripture. Daily Scripture reading is the best thing that you can do to right your compass, to help you realign your priorities. The Scriptures will speak when you are in them regularly. Silence, praying, Scripture reading are all ways that you can step back from the hustle and the bustle of daily life and connect you to the source of life, to God. But you got to build them as habits. We all brush our teeth daily, don't we? I hope so. You got to build it into your schedule. And they'll recalibrate your calendar. See, God wants us to live a full life, but not as the world describes it, with a calendar that's jam-packed, but full of loving our family, enjoying our friends, serving our neighbor, abiding with God, and living unburdened. So friends, may you come to God. May you find rest for your body, for your soul, and your mind. And may you find peace amidst the busy world. Amen.